Fort Madison has held, this will be the fourth time you've attempted to be able to borrow money to build a new elementary school. Why is it that the board and the district keep pushing for this new school?
The Fort Madison Community School District Board has done an intensive study on what are the successes we're having in our district and what are the challenges or barriers to continuing that success. So we have had, over the last 3 years, an excellent improvement in our academics. Our ACT scores have risen. The recent release of the Iowa assessments showed that the Fort Madison Community School District met or exceeded all of the state standards that have been identified, not only by the state of Iowa, but by the Every Student Succeeds Act, the federal act for student achievement. So those are some of our successes that we've been building on for the last 3 years. But at the same time, you have to look at what are the barriers to continuing that improvement. And what the board has identified as a major barrier to continue that improvement is the state of the facilities for our elementary school students. Richardson Elementary School is over 80 years old. Lincoln Elementary School is over 100 years old. And actually, that's opposite. Let me correct myself. Lincoln is 80 years old, and Richardson is over 100 years old. The challenges of those facilities with safety, security, instructional spaces really hinder what we need to be doing for kids, how kids need to learn, how they learn best, how we need to teach them and reach them, handicap accessibility.
Let's go into a few, kind of get into the specifics of these actual buildings. When it comes to these two, and it might be a basic question to start off with, is there air conditioning in these buildings?
No. There are a few classrooms that have window unit air conditioning because of the needs of some of our special education students. We are unable to do that in any of our other classrooms or even centrally air those buildings because of the wattage, ampage, and the constraints of those buildings that are 80 to 100 years old. It would be financially irresponsible for us to even go down that road and consider that. We are liable to current building codes, but we have been grandfathered in to old building codes to these buildings. As soon as we started to try to do some renovation, all of those grandfather codes would expire, and the cost to upgrade those buildings to current codes would be exorbitantly expensive.
What does that do for young, especially the youngest of students, when they're dealing with, we're in the Midwest here. I mean, by the time, but when school starts and at the end of the year, we could be having triple digit weather with heat indexes. What does that do to the learning of the youngest students?
What I can tell you is for the past 3 years since I've been here, we've tracked the loss of instructional time that we have had to endure because of the weather. We had, for example, this year, we had 5 days within the first 3 weeks of school that we had to release for heat issues. And what I mean by that is if it is anywhere between 90 degrees or above outside or in the community, our classrooms in our elementary buildings will reach between 100 and 110 degrees. That is unsafe for students to be in that kind of environment. When that happens, I have to dismiss the district early to lose instructional time. What happens is that affects all of our students. Because of our large footprint of our community, I can't just dismiss our elementary students. I have to dismiss our middle school students. Those are grades 4 through 8. Those are 700 students that have air conditioning in their building. I have to dismiss over 600 students at the high school, where 85% of that building is air conditioned. But everybody has to be sent home to lose instructional time because of the facility, because of the facilities at our elementary level.
When it comes to the actual classroom education, are there types of technology, are there types of services that you can't offer in these two buildings that you could in a new building, just given the structure of them, that you mentioned not being handicap accessible? Are there things that you can't offer here that you could in a building that is more accessible, more newer, more better wiring, better computer, stuff like that?
Yeah, so I'll give you two examples. One is the training that our students have gone through as far as how they're supposed to be learning and practicing their learning in a collaborative environment and team environment. 100% of our teachers have been trained in this national model of how students learn best and how we're supposed to be offering student achievement and how we're supposed to be doing teaching and learning. We can't do that in our classrooms. So as an example, we have multi-story buildings in Lincoln and Richardson. we have grade levels that are on opposite ends of the building. So, for example, we might have 2 second-grade classrooms on the third floor and 2 second-grade classrooms on the first floor just because of logistics. Those classrooms cannot collaborate together and work together for the best needs of all of the second graders because of those buildings. We have students that are physically unable to access anything other than the first floor. So we have actually had to move entire classrooms to different areas of the building because our physically unable students cannot reach some of those learning areas. So that puts a very big barrier up for what we know we need to be doing. In the area of technology, our district is a one-to-one technology district. What that means is every student has access to either a tablet or a Chromebook whenever they need it, and sometimes that is the teaching tool that is being used. What happens is connectivity is an issue. We have teachers that have to change lesson plans, change teaching styles, change content right in the middle of a lesson because the connectivity for our computers is not there. There aren't enough electrical outlets. If we have computers that are not fully charged, they can't maintain their charge because there aren't enough outlets to plug in. We had our construction manager recently present to our Rotary Club here in town that there are more stairs in Richardson Elementary School than there are electrical outlets.